They've got some event going on, so I'm going to call the meeting order. It's 9 o'clock. Are we in compliance with the open meeting law, Courtney?
Yes.
Okay.
We sent it to the county clerk. It's been posted on the website and sent to the radio and newspaper.
Sounds good. All right, I need a motion to approve the agenda. Have you looked the agenda over? Okay, a motion is made by Kathy. Do I hear a second? Second by Diane. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. Okay, the approval of the minutes. Are there any questions you have on the minutes? All right, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve.
The motion made by Diane. Do I hear a second? Kathy? Excuse me. Second by Vicky. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That's what you call a break, you know, a brain break. Yeah.
All right. I'm there most of the time, I think, anymore. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to number five, a public comment and communication.
So April is Volunteer Recognition Month, so we'll just kind of quarterly recognize all our volunteers. And we have one sitting here at the end of the table who's helped. So we really do appreciate it. We are going to be getting out some gifts to all of our volunteers. We've got some little swag will be given out.
Did you hear we found a lady down last week?
I did hear that.
So yeah, I don't want to brag, but I am a hero.
You are.
CNN would be here soon to interview
me. I heard they were showing up.
Yeah, I would hope so. No, I mean, that's part of, if you, I'm just saying.
It is, and that's literally one of the reasons why we do that.
But I mean, it makes you feel like you're really.
It does happen. And yeah, that lady could have laid there a long, you know, I mean, there's always bad stories about that. So Mariah was just telling me this morning that it was on channel 15 or something. They had a news report on that volunteers in Wisconsin are down. There's not as many people volunteering.
Well, we're kind of.
So yes, mm-hmm. Yes. We've put an ask out. I actually put an ask out to department heads to see if anybody that might be working in Lancaster could help out. But Lancaster is one.
I put a thing on Facebook maybe a year ago. I said it's great and doesn't take a lot of time. And then I get all these people saying you're great. That's not why I put it on there. Yeah. Feel like I'm.
Well, now you can say I'm a hero. You could be a hero too.
You'd look good in a cape.
But not tights.
But we do appreciate it. And there will be something coming out. It was going to be coming out sooner. It's going to be coming out a little later because apparently Courtney and I can't count. So we thought we had ordered enough and apparently we did not. So but it will be coming. But we really do appreciate your volunteers. And you're absolutely right, Rob. That is the reason. I mean, that it's a good feeling to do the Meals on Wheels. It helps out a lot of people. And then all of our volunteer drivers taking people, I mean, they're going to much needed medical appointments, more than likely. That's our main goal. So yeah, we are very thankful because we couldn't do half the stuff we do without them. So that's great. Okay.
All right. Number six. Have visibility reports and activities.
Regional board. You guys are looking at me. I'm looking at you.
In February, I don't think, did we? I don't remember meeting in February.
In March.
Well, March is next week. Oh, March.
The regional meeting is the brain freeze is going around here.
The weather.
I don't think we met in March because of an advocacy day and people were going to be up and.
Oh, you're right. Yes, you're absolutely right. I could not. I had to go back to look. So, disability advocacy day was that day, and they are meeting tomorrow. So, aging advocacy day is coming up on Tuesday, May 9th. Still don't have much information on that. Hopefully I will get more tomorrow. Mary thought maybe they were going to do like a meeting place for people. We've got one of our staff is going for sure. I think Emily Ryder is going. I may be going. I got to be able to see if I can. I've got a couple commitments that I got to see if I can work out. But we will be doing some of that. And I will just pass these. These are just a rough draft. They're not done. But this is sort of the stuff that I usually deliver to legislators. It just gives us some information on what we do. It's kind of like what used to be an annual report, only now it's more colorful. So I'll pass those around and you just take a look at them. But if you see a typo or something, just circle it for me because I literally haven't had time to proof it yet. But we will have those ready to go when we visit. So we usually like to provide them some information. Again, Older Americans Act, this is stuff that we just kind of been repeating, is coming up May, I got May 2022, because that's where I'm at, Diane, too, so see,
a good day,
23. We've got Medicare 101, and we'll be doing scams targeting seniors. We've got Jeff Kirsten from Division of Consumer Affairs that's going to come, and he's going to do a nice workshop. And then we've got Dana from IT, who's going to talk about email concerns, what to watch for. And he and Kathy did a really nice handout called Is It a Fish? It kind of tells you what to look for if you get a weird looking email. So I'll pass that around too. They did a really nice job on it. And then we will have DSS, I think Dustin will be there from Adult Protective Services, talk a little bit about elder abuse and what to do if you think somebody's being scammed. So,
do we have dates for those?
Yes. Scams targeting seniors, and I'm sorry, I was going to print those out so I can give you one. I think it's May 5th at 10 a.m. Medicare 101 is the one I don't know for May.
Maybe. There's one this Friday.
Yes, there is one Friday.
And then May 19th.
May 19th, okay.
And those are in the afternoon at 1:30.
Scam one is me.
Yeah, I have a couple of flyers, actually.
Yep. I will get some out to you, and we're going to be doing a press release on that as well. And that will be here. I think it's going to be a really good event. We've heard Jeff before. He's done a workshop for us, and he's really, really good. So we're excited to have him again. So, all right. So I think that's all I got on Older Americans Act. And then Public Transit Forum, we had yesterday. And Arnold, you can weigh in on that, too, since you were there. And I really appreciate you being there.
Well, there's about 17 or 18 people.
Yeah. Somebody from Bagley, somebody from Lancaster.
Yeah.
Who was the guy?
From Bagley. You weren't here. Jerry Cobb. He's originally from Bagley, but he moved to Bagley.
Okay.
Yeah. He's on the board at the town board now. So.
Interesting.
The Dave.
I can't tell you the one that was at your table.
Yeah, I
know who he is, but I don't know his name.
Misty walked off.
Louise Kendiger. She's from Bay.
Yeah, she's from Bay.
She lives in River Lakes.
Now. Yeah,
yeah, she's a trustee.
Yeah.
So they talked about some concerns that looking to learn about transportation for Bagley. So we had a nice chat with them. We had gotten some comments. We had one comment on Facebook about the Lancaster taxi, thinking we needed an extra day in Lancaster. And then I've had about three complaints about the Platteville taxi, not complaints, but just concerns about the increase in the fares. And of course that's out of my jurisdiction, but, it is something that we are kind of looking at, as well. Other comments that we kind of looked at, it was mentioned by one of our department heads that they need transportation for juveniles and parents to get to court. That's kind of out of our scope, but I know that is an issue, so I took it down and put it down. So basically, I guess, we kind of look through our plan, what's working. You know, we do have really good volunteer driver escorts. The problem is they are diminishing. And we've probably lost six regular, and really probably 12, because some are snowbirds and only do a few, and we've only replaced about three of them. So while they're very committed and do really great work, we also need more, and it's really hard to get them anymore with gas prices and insurance prices, and you have to pay taxes on it. If it goes over the 600, it's much more difficult to get them. But our bus participants are increasing. We're seeing more people going on the bus, so that's good. Our taxi's busy in Lancaster. It's less busy in Boscobel and Fenimore. And part of that is when we had, over COVID, when we had, you know, free fares, it was very busy. So I know the fares are a bit of an issue. Again, something that we need to think about. Do we want people to be able to use the transportation, or do we want them to pay for the transportation? Obviously, we want them to pay something, but I think that's worth looking at. Just notice Family Care uses us very consistently to contract for rides. I think they're about 20% of our rides for the TRIPS program, and our wheelchair van is very heavy. But most of what we do, a lot of what we do in there is Family Care, or IRIS, actually. What is not working? Volunteer drivers have been on the decline. The group was uncertain if everyone throughout the county knows about us. So that was, Louise's. She's not sure people in Bagley know. And we actually do pick up a couple people in Bagley, and we do have a route that goes through there. So we're going to do some reaching out, and I sent her some stuff last night, so that she can make people a little more aware that the bus does pick up in Bagley and surrounding area and goes to Prairie du Chien. So we'll be looking at that. One of the things that I had said is Family Care paying enough for rides, because I'm not always sure that we get sufficient amount for that. I think that's something to look at. I know certain county programs are backing out of Family Care contracts, and I was very close to backing out of them this spring. In fact, I threatened them and said, you're either gonna put the correct amount in there or we're done. I'm not going to do this game with you. So they probably sent me 15 contracts that didn't have the correct price in. Come on. Again, Platteville taxi is deemed too expensive by some. I definitely had three concerns, and that's unusual. So we don't usually get those comments, but we did. And those are the ones that I took. Grant County is large. Taxi-like services are only available in just a few communities. So Platteville, Lancaster, Boscobel, and Fenimore. Some of the things that we talked about at my table, and I don't have the other table, so maybe you can weigh in on that a little bit, was possibly developing a Find Your Own Driver program. Crawford has done that. It would alleviate some of the need for volunteers. Again, meeting with local municipalities to make them aware of services. We actually have that in our aging plan, but of course we didn't do it during the pandemic. One of the ideas that Mariah and Louise talked about yesterday was possibly having like a bus open house in Bagley, just to show people what it is and meet the driver and, you know, maybe be there for a short amount of time. So if they want to see what it looks like and see if they think they might like it, they would have a chance to take a look at that. So those were some of the things that we talked about. There was some talk about working with advocacy leaders for Spanish speaking. Yeah. That's what the gentleman from Lancaster had talked about, that the Spanish speaking population is growing. Looking at continuing to market our transportation services in a way that doesn't stigmatize, because people still have, you know, there's a stigma about it yet. Many of our older riders are concerned, or they don't want to take up somebody else's seat who needs it more than they do. You know, it's very much like, well, we have a car yet. Well, you can have a car and still ride the bus. It's fine. You know, just because you can drive around town doesn't mean you want to drive to Prairie with the, you know, four roundabouts and whatever. So again, we talked about possibly reducing fares for taxi or reducing fares for Flatville if we could. So how about you? Did you have anything?
Well, I think our group, we kind of talked about a liability. That was an issue that was brought up. You know, some people are kind of hesitant to take people out.
Yes, absolutely. They,
you know, everybody is too happy in this country now. You know, yes. And I guess if I was going to do it, I'd check with my insurance company first. I guess that'd be the first step I would do.
Yes.
And I think people are reluctant in this area that they don't want to step forward in doing that.
I get it. I wouldn't, the liability would be an issue, I think. It would worry me too. I mean, and it's a much bigger time commitment. If you're taking somebody to Madison, you're spending a good portion of your day there, you know, and just the drive there and back is going to take you out of it.
We've got a couple of friends, a husband and wife are both in the nursing home in Stoughton. And, you know, I know they would like to get out and go for a ride, but we are reluctant to take them out of the nursing home because basically we're responsible. And, you know, if something happens, you know, things you really got to think about and consider. Them were issues that we discussed yesterday.
Yeah.
And the stigma word did come up at our table too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it goes back to Rob's comment earlier about being a hero. There's so many people that don't want to ask for a ride, like you just said, because, well, I still have a car, I can still drive. But they get to a point maybe of no return when if they would have just asked for a ride and the ride would have came and found them on the bathroom floor, So those are the things that, you know, it's also a wellness check. It's not, you know, it's like the Meals on Wheels. It's a wellness check as much as providing nutrition. So I think the rides are somewhat the same way as we get aging population.
If somebody doesn't come to the door, we follow up. We don't go, I guess they're like, why didn't they come to the door?
Yeah.
But it's the same with rides. Yeah. You know, if someone's got an appointment and you go there and they don't answer the door, they may be lying there. I think that's another opportunity to provide the service that is available.
Is there, for volunteers or any of this, is there, not sure what to call it, a training or an opportunity where they can come in and hear what they're responsible for
We have a volunteer driver handbook that we have, and Mariah will usually meet individually with somebody when they specify. Sometimes people don't really know, she'll sit down with them and meet with them and explain the whole process and how, you know, what it goes through. And we have right in the handbook to check with your insurance company that, you know, a 1099 will be issued if you go over.
Yeah, part of the reason I ask is that in some of the groups I'm in, it comes down to a lack of awareness that they have a policy. They feel like, well, if I'm going to volunteer for this, I'm just going to get thrown out there and fend for myself. I mean, so that educational piece is really important.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, again, there's a lot of things going against us with, I mean, gas prices are high. They're only getting a reimbursement at the IRS rate. You know, when we've had to even kind of, you know, fight for that. So, but it is what it is. I think, you know, I think the Find Your Own Driver program is interesting. And I talked with Robbie over in Crawford County. She has now left the ADRC over there. But she sent me quite a bit of information. She was doing it in a very limited basis, but we're kind of doing that with our caregiver program now because we can't get direct care workers to come into the home. There's just not enough. So we started having people to have somebody, a friend or, you know, a family member who could provide care that you can pay, and then we'll reimburse you for that. So we're doing some of that. We changed that policy in here, I don't know, a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what they're doing with the Find Your Own Driver. And I do think, you know, she said they didn't really advertise it. They were kind of selective. But I do think there are people that do have people that maybe could or would be willing to take them, but maybe those, but again, they often don't want to ask if they don't feel like they can pay them. You know, they don't want to ask and not be able to provide them with some money or things like that. So, I mean, I think it's worth looking at. It's a little trickier because you have to verify it, but, you know, again, it could alleviate some of what we have. So, and keep a little pressure off our drivers because we're certainly not replacing them. So, and I don't know that we will. The Meals on Wheels, I mean, I've always said I'll do Meals on Wheels when I retire because I love Meals on Wheels. And it's not very much out of your day, you know, it doesn't take very long. And it's just, I don't know, get your exercise, you get smiles, you say hello to people, they're appreciative. It's a nice, you know, you get home at the end and you're good. So sometimes you're a hero. So
would it be just a suggestion? Because the Aging Advocacy Day is in May, Older Americans Act Month is in May, maybe next May, to put on some sort of a presentation directed to potential volunteers on the importance of, if you can volunteer, so many people too that I've done this so long that they feel if they're going to volunteer for something, it's a life sentence.
Yeah.
And that's a big holdup for a lot of people. But I'm just wondering if that could be part of a program because it's important for the whole aging and older Americans that we have volunteers. So just
people often don't show up for those things though. You know, that's our biggest problem is getting people to come. So because they don't show up. One of the things we did talk about at our table though, I thought that was good. It was actually for Louise, was making contact. Again, if we make contact with those local leaders and townships, who could identify like, okay, we want to maybe we want to bring the taxi one day a week to Bagley, you know, just to run around town because we can use some volunteers as well to drive our vans. We did look into that. Her point was, you know, your local leaders are going to know who you might be willing, who might I contact, who might be willing to do something like this, or they could reach out and say, hey, do you think you could volunteer, you know, one day, and you might get more of a buy-in because it's somebody who knows somebody, which is absolutely true. It often does work that way if somebody else can, you know.
I just, not to belabor it, but I just had a recent experience. I'm part of a group called Building Platteville, and we gave a presentation to the local optimists on Friday. A lot of people had heard of us, they really didn't know what, but we do the big thing, that most noteworthy thing now is we do the Katie's Winter Wonderland, and we do the events down in Katie's. By the time we gave our 20-minute presentation, we had 7 new volunteers.
That's great.
Because all we said is, we could, if you're interested in helping in any way, and we kind of cited some examples, but they weren't life sentences. It was like,
right.
Well, if you could help us on this day, do this. So
great. And most of what we advertise is that way, that it's at your availability. It could be one day a month, it could be one day a week, it can be whatever you want. It can be, I'm gonna do 4 times for you and we'll take you because But we actually got a couple departments that are looking into, so we'll probably have, I think, staff from a couple of departments that are going to help us in Lancaster, at least for the apartments. We're trying to at least alleviate a route somewhere and get the apartments done. So it usually works. I was laughing because I think it was last year, maybe it was the year before, I literally put an article on the front page that said, ADRC asked you to volunteer and approve. Criminal justice professor from UW Platteville had called me and he said, well, I read your article, and I'm pretty sure I had him as a professor back in 1980. And I said, you did? And he said, yeah. And you guilted me right into it. I said, oh, that is exactly what I was going for. And he said, yeah, well, I've been thinking about it now, so I had to call. I'm like, perfect. And he's still volunteering for us, so.
Lori, I have one more question related to this.
Yes.
It's a very elementary question. The taxi service serves Boscobel, Fenimore, and Lancaster. And people that came yesterday had issues with the Platteville?
Yes. But no, they did. Platteville, I got some calls.
The okay, with the,
yeah.
the
and
fares,
again,
I get that.
Yeah.
Well, can you explain to me, I don't understand why Platteville isn't part of this.
It's because we don't run it, but people don't know who, you know, everybody just calls the ADRC when they have an issue.
It is ADRC only.
We are only Lancaster, Boscobel, and Baltimore. Blackville Taxi is run by...
We had quite the discussion in City Council when it came budget time for taxi fares, and that's why we had to do the increase, because there was just no wiggle room. So,
yeah.
Okay.
It's easy for people to point fingers and say, she's responsible.
Well, they just know we run Lori. It's really not that. It's just they don't know who they should call, so they call us, and they know we'll either tell them what to do or
we'll call. But because of the incident,
yeah,
I didn't need to apply today. Everybody just considers it all ADRC, but
yeah, right.
It is the
right.
Same, you know, like you understand, Platteville's kind of running their own thing, but.
No.
It's easy to say, well, that's an ADRC issue.
And if you look at our ADRC for sure, we include, because we don't just include our transportation programs, we include the Lyft program, we refer everybody to all programs.
Right.
So, but yeah, it does come up and it's valid. They're concerned. And I think it goes hand in hand with the meal site moving away from the senior center. So they have some valid concerns. So. But we also, we're going to talk about that in the next agenda item. So there are some ways to alleviate some of that. So, but overall, I thought the transit meeting went good. Again, Arnold, thank you very much. And Bob, you were there too. And Courtney had to help out. We all got a good meal out of it. So that was good. It's always good when you get to eat. So. But yeah, I thought overall it went pretty good. So they will take the comments back. Misty will be working on them. They are actually in Lafayette County today because our regional coordinated plan is actually Grant, Iowa, Lafayette, Greene, and Richland.
Okay.
So we meet quarterly, and then this plan we all have to do a regional plan plus have a county plan. And then that has to go to the state in order for us to apply for the next round of grants. So so it's interesting. And that plan will be for 5 years. So I will tell you that I wasn't very good on the 18 through 23 because I didn't anticipate, you know, a pandemic in showing up in 20. So that would last much longer than the 2 weeks that we thought it was going to. So
coming back to the Platteville, is Platteville, are they funded by a private company, or is the city?
No, they contract with a private
company. Contract with a private.
But they probably get some 5311 funds too.
They do, but it was a big, what they were going to get and what the cost was.
It's usually about half. What we normally would get would be about half of our expenses minus passenger revenue, so.
That was a concern with our seniors. I did hear from some of them.
Yeah. So, okay.
All right, move along to, I guess, the Platteville Senior Dining site.
Transportation was on there, so that's a little separate. So I'm gonna move one back up, Arnold.
Oh.
Transportation vouchers.
Oh, yes,
okay. Purchases
out
of the trust fund. So our wheelchair van is down and it's probably not coming back because we've got a frame issue. I did talk to, typically we would try to get vehicles out of a grant or we do it at the same time. Last year, vehicles were not, we couldn't even get vehicles. So I have been in contact with DOT to find out how I can get a vehicle fairly quickly and said, can I purchase off a lot? And they said, yes, which not normally what they say. But they said yes, because First of all, we can't get them either, so we understand that situation. So if I purchase off from a dealer that they procure with, I think I'll be okay. Well, and then that's the easiest way to do it because their procurement policy is awful. And if we do it on ours, I'll have to go to the ends of the earth to get all this information. As it is with the state procurement, I still have to sign forms. Crazy. And I'm like, you procured it. So I don't know why I have to prove it. But so we are going to look at that. We have money in the trust fund. I don't know that we're going to have, I have to go back and look. I'd like to get one for sure, maybe two. But I think we'll probably start with one just because the vehicle prices have almost, they've gone up tremendously. And I don't know what we're going to be able to negotiate for. But we've got to have one because we're without one right now. We're actually contracting. SOC has a need for our services, and we've always provided rides. So they actually have a working vehicle, and we had a driver that needed a vehicle. So we are doing a little collab. We're providing a driver using their van and picking up someone on a regular basis. So that's how we're doing it now. But I would like to get a vehicle out of the trust fund. I will look at one of the, probably A&J, or they've got, I think, four vendors on the list that are in the Wisconsin area to look at. And hopefully we can get something. The other thing that I did want to just discuss is, I didn't know about this, I think, until a couple of years ago, is there is an ability to use our 8521 grant, which is what we use for bus and all the transportation programs. We can purchase taxi vouchers for another, so we could purchase some for Platteville. I don't know that I would actually look at a full voucher, but we could provide, and we have to obviously work with the company. We could provide, say, $1 off. If they raised it $1, we might be able to provide $1 off up to, we'd only have obviously so many available. But that is something that we could potentially do. We haven't been spending all of our 8521 money, so I do think that might be a reasonable thing. Whether we would use much of it or not, we'll have to see. And I probably talked to a few programs that maybe do it. I think maybe Reedsburg. I can't remember who. It's been a while since I talked to them about it. But I guess I wanted to know what your thoughts were on doing that. Our plan, my plan, has always been to try to get people more active and about out and about in their own community. I mean, it's nice, and we certainly need to get them out when they need to go to medical appointments too, but really people need to be out in their own community too. So that would be a way to provide it. And maybe it would be a limit of, I don't know. I don't even know what we'd start with. But if you think, if you have some thoughts about it.
I'd like to have it explored for the possibility of Platteville, especially that you had some contacts.
Yeah, it'd only be Platteville because that's the only taxi that's not ours. The other, you know, the other cities, the Lancaster and Boston Mount Vernon, are taxis. So, however, along with that, I think we might need to lower our fare as well. We are only doing the $2 and 50 cents a stop, but I think maybe if we lowered it. Food prices are really high. It's a tough time for people. And we know they used it when it was free. So I kind of think maybe we should lower it.
Maybe this isn't the right time or place to ask the question, but what revenue do we get from that?
What revenue?
What's the annual revenue?
From the taxi,
yeah.
About 6,000. I think I budgeted 6,700 this year. So.
So if we had someone that wanted to donate, and that gets to be a challenge,
yeah.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Donate a fair amount of that. Then you're picking and choosing who gets free.
And that is not what Mariah wants to do.
I think
we should have that happen. Yeah, that gets real tricky when people want it to, you know.
But it is a donation, right? Or is not a donation? Is it like the meals or not?
It's not really, DOT looks at it as more as like a copay, but we have the discrepancy to kind of do whatever we want there. I do think it's important to have something. I think they need to pay. The 50 cent stops to me would be one thing to get rid of, just because that's a headache for y'all. So I do think we could change that. We did start charging family care more because they started using their taxi more. So I upped it to $4 a ride for them because that is what the level taxi charges. So I'm like, you know, and they pushed back on that and said, well, that's not something we've ever paid. And I said, well, if you go to Platteville, that's what you're going to pay. So you should pay that for ours. And they're like, they said, didn't know if they wanted to do that. I said, you don't have to. I said, you can take that all out of the contract and we'll just do meals for you. I'm sorry, but you need us more than we need you. So if you don't want to pay it, why shouldn't you have to pay it? I mean, they get Medicare reimbursement and they've shown a profit for several years. So we don't have a profit. We're not making hand over foot money. So I do think that's considered, you know, to be considered. So if you're thinking that way, I guess I'll look at some issues and maybe talk and maybe come back with a proposal next month. I don't know that we're ready to just dive in and say what it should be, but we could certainly look at it. But I do think it would be helpful. My only concern is in Lancaster, because John's already really busy. So if we lower it there, it might really send him over the edge too. So Lancaster uses the taxi a lot. His numbers are much higher there. So that would be a thing to look at.
Does the city subsidize?
Yes, but all the cities do. Typically, now we've gotten CARES Act funding, so we didn't do that, but typically, yes, all the cities do put in a share as well. And then, so for the taxi funding, it actually comes out of 5311, typically does half the expenses minus the revenue. We get some city share in about 6,400 from the cities. And then I also charge some of it out to 8521. I kind of use that to make up the, and then anything 8521 has 20% copay by the county. So I kind of piece it all together that way. So I would like to look at that, but I would like to look at the vehicle purchases. I would like you to consider that today, that to give us leeway to purchase up to two. I don't know if they'll be new or used, if you want to be able to give me that discretion, but I really need wheelchair vans. And we've got money in the trust fund, so obviously I'm not going to spend any more in the trust fund than I have.
Did we sell any of those vehicles? Did you advertise them that surplus auction?
We have them going. They're actually, Tim is taking some of the vehicles up
on Friday.
Is it Friday? Friday. Yeah, they're going. And then if Lori would get time to get an ad together, I've got two that we're just going to sell locally. Oh, they're not running, and we actually have people interested in them. Oh. So I'm just going to do an ad in the paper, but that's been on my to-do list for some time. But I've started it, and that's as far as I've gotten. But yeah, those will probably be out in the next week or
so. They go to that surplus auction
at Longhorn? The bigger buses do, yeah, which is how DOT would like it. Yeah. But the smaller, the little tiny bus we've got out here, we'd have to haul it. It's not even worth hauling. Yeah. So if somebody will put that on a flatbed and take it away from me, I'll be happy about that. Mm-hmm. So, and our same with our wheelchair van, it's just shot. But again, those vehicles sat out in the winter and they're hard. I mean, our vehicles hopefully will be in much better shape with having the vehicle storage facility. Because the vans, the body work on them always, it gets so brittle, and it's just the way they customize it. I just don't think they last as long, but unfortunately, we need them because people really do want more on-demand stuff. So, and I think we're going to have to start offering it. So,
speaking of coming back to taxis, what do they charge like for Platteville? If I was to take a taxi to, you know, around, do they charge by the mile, the minute, or how do they do that?
I think it's up to five, and it's four for seniors. I think
but
so.
It's
but I don't know if they
do. I have to look at that. I'm sorry.
I had it actually, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to draw a blank. Yeah, adults are five, seniors are 450, students are 450, disabled is 450, additional rider is two.
That's if you're on the route, or
is that a round trip one way, or
that's taxi, and it doesn't say, so I'm thinking that's one way. Yes, because the one gentleman I talked to said, if my mother goes to the meal site, it's going to cost her $450. I thought it was four, was what he said, but it must be $450. It cost her $450 to go and $450 to go. And then she's supposed to donate $4. And then she's got to, you know, and I'm like, I get it. I do get it. So where we charge $2 and then 50 cents in for any additional ride in between. So,
I see.
It's how we.
That could be one reason why your meal sites are not attended either. If it's going to cost them that much money to get there, it's cheaper to have them delivered.
Yeah.
Well, you have to qualify to deliver. So we didn't in the pandemic, but you do here. And actually, we don't have people use. Well, our like Bosqueville and Fenimore are only there. Till noon, yeah. So they don't. It doesn't always work with the congregate sites. We quit trying to link our transportation to congregate a while back, because at one point in time we were literally kind of subsidizing both. I didn't feel it was a good idea. We can't use the bus solely to make sure people are at our congregate. And the fact is people aren't going to congregate. They don't like congregate. We've had many state meetings recently and many people around the state going, when are we just going to address this? People are not wanting congregate. And the state keeps saying, well, you know, it's good for them. And I'm like, but we let everybody else self-determine everybody else. So I actually told the state, Sarah, the state, I said, I'm 61 years old. I will tell you what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And if I could take out a meal, I might, but I'm not going to the congregate. And, you know, I'm like, and I hear that from a lot of people. So it's a different world than it was when it started. You know, it's just, it is. People don't want to eat when they're being told. I want to eat when I want to eat. I don't want to eat it. 11:45 because you tell me. So now we have some people that really enjoy it. Those the two sites usually have been Platteville and Bosqueville because they are attached to a senior center where people group together. Mm-hmm. But we don't have the ability, the senior centers are both independent of our congregate sites. So we don't have the ability, we don't have that kind of money. So it's interesting. But there are many variations of ways that we could be doing things. And we do think, well, we'll get into that when we get to Platteville, but it's interesting.
I'm going to apologize. I should know more about how that works. And I realize I don't.
And so we can talk about
it. I will get some more information and bring it back because I am very curious. But one thing, when the shared ride rates increased in December, effective January, they hadn't been increased for 10 years.
Yeah,
the city was like getting to the point, the tipping point where either we have to do this or we're not going to be able to have the service.
Yeah, so, and I get it. But
that
I'm
might
hoping,
be helpful for you.
I'm hoping maybe if we can alleviate it with, we'll give it at least back to where it was or something like that. Again, we have the ability to do that. So it might be something to look at. I mean, I'm not going to go, we can't go crazy on that because we can't do that in every area, but it could alleviate some concern, especially since the meal site was moved. But we do have our own vehicle for the meal site too. So the senior center could use their van to pick up people as well. If we can work out having meals at the senior center, which I think we're going to, they could actually bring some people in as well. They used to do it, so I can't imagine they can't.
Well, the other possibility, and it would probably be a challenge, but it would be something to worthwhile looking into, is that we do have the public transport, the bus.
Yeah.
And it now with the move to the senior center into City Hall, we need to get that as a drop-off pickup point on a regular schedule.
Which is fine, but when it gets to the drop-off where they get dropped off, that's the seniors that I've heard from over the years that don't use the bus is because the drop-off often is farther than for them to walk. So if they've got, you know, purchases or things, they don't want to make that walk to a bus stop.
We've
so
heard that.
Where with our bus, we're picked up at home, you know, you were, it's right to your door, and our driver will even help you with your bags to your door. So that's usually what I've heard in the past. And I don't know how, I don't see their usage rates, so I don't know. But they all have to send up to the same kind of reports. So they should be able to tell you how many seniors and disabled people they transport, because they got to do the same reports I do. So they should be able to tell you. So if are you okay with me having a little, let's say, purchase up to two?
I made a motion.
Okay.
Kathy? Nikki? All those in favor? Their motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome.
He's from beyond there. Perfect. We will get on that. And I'm hoping that we can come up with at least one anyway. I'm not convinced we can get two, but it would be great. I would be thrilled. All right.
Okay. Number eight, the senior dining site.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit, since you're the nutrition coordinator? Put you on the spot.
So we did move our Platteville meal site on March 31st. We have been running since. We never missed a day. So we're in the new location. We have our sub manager there. She's got things. I had to go last week and sub. She's got things all set up efficiently. We have just a couple people doing a pickup just because they're a higher nutritional risk. But the meals are getting out. We've got our new van over there. It took a couple days to figure out the process in the kitchen, but we're good. We've got things figured out. It went fairly smoothly for the most part, the move. So
it did. I was very tired at the end of the day, and I feel like I didn't even do that much, but I was tired.
So yeah, I think, you know, we don't have any congregate right now, but yeah, the meals have been getting out, and we haven't missed a beat in that aspect.
So Courtney, in her wisdom and her good searching for, as we talked about how we were going to deal with this congregate situation, because we actually, the day we were moving, we talked with some of the seniors at the senior site about it. And there is a few of them that we were concerned about, and we do want to make sure they get it. So we had both been kind of looking. Well, Courtney contacted me one afternoon and came down the office and said, I think I found something that might work for us. And it kind of came about, I think, as the pandemic, but it looks, she found it on an ACL, Administration for Children and Living site that is the Fed's site. And it says that congregate can be, how was it worded? Congregate can, meals can be picked up and taken to
another location if there's congregating there. So it can be a picnic, it can be an event, it can be a festival, as long as they're congregating together to eat those meals.
So I contacted the state because I wanted to make sure, first of all, it wasn't just an emergency, public health emergency situation. And Sarah said no, that we probably couldn't do it. She was a little hesitant at first, but she's like, well, you'd have to have somebody there. And I'm like, well, I mean, this says, well, first of all, she said you have to have a site. And I'm like, well, this literally says tailgating or a picnic. So I think you're wrong. But I said it would be at a site. I said, if we could get the senior center to buy in, we really mostly need a volunteer there to make sure people are signed in. I don't know that we would transport, because I still think they probably, somebody would have to be designated to pick up the meals and move them over there, but it would be a solution for the people at the senior center who want to eat our meals. So that, and that's what we're really trying to get at. Those 8 to 10 people that still want to have those meals, and anybody else then that might come on board. So I will be proposing that to them to see if they're interested in doing that. Hopefully they will be. It's a win-win for them and us, I think. So hopefully they'll still be willing. If they're not, then we'll have to figure something else out. But that is sort of our plan for now, because we just don't have room at the Armory. There's not, we don't have the space for it. So they are going to be renting out the gym and other things, and that would just be a nightmare. So plus, really, who wants to eat in the gym? I mean, it's not very nice. So
let's see, I forgot. Where are you meeting? Is it the old Armory or the old fire station? I forgot.
Which the place. Armory.
Yeah. Did you pay rent now?
Yes, we're paying rent now there.
Are there?
Yes. Yes, we are. But it's a nice commercial kitchen. So we managed to get everything in. They've got
a 4-pan steam table. We only had a 3, so that's beneficial to us. They've got like a double oven. So if we do need to put something in there to keep it warm, if we have extra, we got our side-by-side cooler in there. We got our stand-up freezer in there. They have a 3-compartment sink, plus we've got the dishwasher and another sink in the back corner. So, I mean, it's a nice kitchen. It's nicer than what.
Is that on the first floor?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a ramp there, isn't there?
There is a ramp, yeah. Yes. It's.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And you've got ample parking, I mean, too.
Yeah.
But mostly we're just doing home delivery.
Yeah.
So we would have people. People can come and pick up.
Right.
The 2 that she's got.
Do you have extra storage?
The storage. We don't have a ton of storage, but actually they're pretty good. So if we would need, they like for our paper products, which are just kind of bulky, they have said the basement's huge. So they have offered us some additional space down there if we want to store something. I think we've got enough what we need. And Courtney sends out, the sites have a great deal of storage. So she's constantly sending out paper supplies as they need them. That's just, we've got a whole little transportation system of our own. So
with Platteville, it's consistent just because of the number of meals. And our driver stops here every day to get the van to go there. So it's not an issue usually,
So hopefully the senior center will go for it. And literally we basically need somebody to sign in, because we would do all the other paperwork and sign people up, but hopefully they would be willing to do that so that people could congregate and eat there, congregate and eat there, and if they could provide them a little bit of space. So we'll see if they're willing. Hopefully it'll work out.
Okay.
All right.
All right, we're to item 10, approval of vouchers.
Nope. We're on 9, sorry. You just want to get out of here, don't you? I tied you up for 2 days. I don't know, you're ready to go. I don't blame you. All right, so we did, we do have Ginny Schaefer is the substitute in Platteville for us right now, or was a substitute. We wanted to promote her. Ginny had been a meal site manager for us in the past and came back to us as a sub. So we really wanted to get her hired if at all possible. And I wanted to give her a little bit more of an increase because she comes with a lot of experience, and we would not have been able to do what we did in Platteville without her. So we did, usually we bring it here first and then to executive committee. This time it went to executive committee first, because of the timing of the 2 meetings, and asked for her to be at a step 5 when we promoted her to be at that step 5, which is 1735 versus 1659. So we'd like to give her that retro to her promotion date. So if you're in agreement with that, if somebody would make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Right. Motion date by Vicki. Do I hear a second? Second by Kathy. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Same time, okay.
All right, now
we do that. Yeah, okay. All right. Item 10, okay. We need a motion on the vouchers. I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers. Here a second. Second by Diane. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Item number 11, the financial report. Are there any questions, anything you have on the financial report? We looked it over. Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the financial? Motion's made by Rob. Second. Second by Kathy. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion's carried. On the financial report. Okay, your ADRC, Grant County Director report.
All right, I apologize, I did not do a written one. I just couldn't get it together. Didn't do one for a regional tomorrow either. You should use this one. So we talked about the fish cart a little bit. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. We are gonna probably be giving those away at Elderfest as well. But Dana came up with the information and Kathy came up with kind of the design and they were both really excited about it. So that was kind of a nice collab with the IT department. I am going to be doing a survey with UW-Madison. We have worked with UW-Madison's research department for yoga in the past. So they contacted me, I don't know, probably about a month ago and asked if I would be willing to sit down and with their researchers and they're doing a survey on COVID-19 and agencies that serve people with disabilities and how their services were affected and what they did during COVID-19. They're nice people and they gave us a good program. So I said I said I would. I think it's gonna be about 45 minutes is all, so it's not too much. So I just met with them a little bit yesterday and then I'll be actually doing the survey with them next week. So I just thought it might be interesting. Legislator handouts, you've seen those. We talked about volunteers. Again, we just put an ask out for Lancaster meal sites, but any meal site can really. So as you're talking to people out and about, Cuba City still needs a meal site manager. If any of one of you are willing to move to Cuba City, because we are just, we're about at the end of our rope. I met with the sheriff and Holly from Unified last week and a couple of Holly's staff to talk about, Holly wants to maybe look at writing for a grant or something about for dementia tracking. There's a number of different devices out there anymore that can help somebody if they wander away, help locate them. Unified uses them already for children as well. So a child with autism sometimes is a wanderer, and so they use it for that. So they thought we might be interested in dementia. And actually, we've got some funds through Caregiver that we can kind of purchase them individually for people. But if the sheriff is interested in doing it as well, it certainly wouldn't hurt. So we are looking into that. We're actually kind of looking into the devices and the plans and see what's out there. So, and see what's out there for grants. So we did that. Met with emergency department's hazard plan. They also have to do a plan similar to our public transit plan. So we did meet with them as well. Discuss things that are happening, and it's Grant County, so mostly what's happening is floods will be coming. Yeah. So Steve's been keeping us updated every day now, so the water's getting higher, so hopefully we're not on site anywhere is my hope. So sometimes we come out to Cassville, but hopefully we won't have the same issues we've had during the past. Many of the houses that were still and kind of the floods have been taken down. So I don't know, we'll see. I guess if their storm drains go over, that's what happened in Boscoville. We had an awful lot of flooding in places we never had before. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but we'll see. So anything that you have? We've got a staff appreciation lunch today, don't we, Bob?
Yes, we do.
We're really counting on it. So.
Yes, we do.
So we'll be doing that. Otherwise, we are busy. Our numbers are busy. And if you look at our numbers that we were presenting to legislators, our numbers are going up. We have got, what legislators need to know is ADRC needs more money for more staff because we aren't going to be able to keep up. Our staff are, they do a very good job. But when our staff numbers fall, and our staff are do the most in the region, and when they dip down by like 50 or something, they think they're slow. So, but we can't kind of keep that up. And it's going to get worse with public health emergency ending.
You've seen a lot of traffic with that.
We're gonna, because future is going to be ending some of the Medicaid eligibility that's been carried on for people will be ending or changing. And we're going to get a lot of those calls. I have been pretty clear with Nicole in turn with staff that we don't have the additional dollars to take that over. Our staff can assist with Medicaid applications, and they do. We often are a little more accommodating to people on that. But it is not entirely in our scope. We are able to assist, but it's actually in the realm of social services, who is supposed to do it in the call center and things like that. And as far as I know, I'm talking with Fred, they have some additional dollars for overtime and things to work with that. So I've been very clear that, we will assist in times where somebody really needs an advocate and needs to have that extra help, but that is not going to be our role to doing that, because it really can't be, because we don't have the time or the money to do it. So and the problem is, and the state knows it too, is ADRC staff we just like to make it easy for them and take care of it. But I don't know if we're able to do that. We can't add that on top of 7,000 contacts already. So we'll see how that plays out. But I do think we'll get a lot of the calls. And again, some of that is they just don't know who calls. So they call us to find out. So we're just going to have to be good about making sure that they get to the right places and then help out when they really struggle. So, but, and we still will go that extra mile. I don't want to say we won't, but, our job is not to do Medicaid applications. It's to assist when needed. So, and that's really with somebody who can't make that happen. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think we might see more requests for meals too, Chair and Nick. Yeah. So.
Well, that meal site position in Cuba City kind of bothers me. You can't find one. I thought maybe I'd move to Cuba City and take the position.
You're hired.
We don't have any ambulance service there, so I changed the line.
That was a comment yesterday. Yeah. Somebody told me I should contact some of the EMS there to see if they hear them. Too bad too. I'm afraid that's going to happen in our city sometime soon too as well. Ours is stretched so good. It's awful. But yeah, I'm hoping we are kind of short of going door to door, which we might start doing. I don't know.
You don't have a meal site in Hayes Green, do you?
No.
They get their meals from Cuba City.
Typically, you try to find somebody that might be able to pick up their meals for them. Grant is so huge, we can't serve most of it locally. We usually have to. But people often have supports that we can identify to pick up meals for them. So. But that's something we might want to talk about in the future, too, because, again, I think more and more people are going to need meals, and we aren't. Even if we had all the money, that was a comment yesterday with the transportation. Like, even if we had the money, we can't get the staff. So, unemployment is very low, and we still attract drivers pre-pandemic. So, people are not really looking for jobs without benefits, and they can get that pay that we offer just about anywhere. So, it's tough. It's And I'm not the only one. I mean, we're like the whole county is experiencing that as well. So different degrees, but yeah, it's tough. And Courtney's spending a lot more time in meal sites and filling in than.
Speaking of meal sites, yes. Lori, when you get these finalized, yes. Can you email them out
absolutely.
To us? And this is shocking. This survey.
Oh, we didn't have that on there. We were going to talk about that.
I forgot.
A little bit. Yes.
How was this done?
We'll bring it back next. We were going to do it as part of my report, and we forgot. We'll bring it back next month. Yeah.
Satisfaction surveys.
The satisfaction surveys are they come out from the state. They kind of allowed us to format what we wanted. And then you send them out to congregate and home delivered. What's your return rate? You get most of them back, don't you?
We got a very high amount back this time.
Yeah. If you look at
many meals,
that's shocking. 50% wouldn't get. Is that the 50% that wouldn't get the any hot meal?
Yeah.
And those are particularly what I like to show legislators, because those are the ones that hit home.
And
when you know that somebody like one in four is going to go without a meal if they don't have a meal, that's kind of sad.
It is.
And Rob can attest, there's many that wouldn't. I mean, many are just, they wouldn't have as good a meal, but they would be okay.
Oh, yeah.
But you and I also know, and you know, because we've delivered, that there's some you know darn well
that's
aren't going to have much.
Yeah.
And that's why we work to get those emergency meals out in the winter that we, you know, and we actually up the amount of those. We used to provide much less, and now we actually do a full, two full meals.
Yeah.
So they can really probably get three or four out of it. But because of that very thing, we know there are people that could possibly go hungry, and I just, I'm not okay with that. And to me, that's the social worker in me, but that's what I focus on more than the congregate. I know isolation is not good for people. I know it's not. But food insecurity is much more important to me, because you can't be hungry.
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of ways we need to socialize now, but food insecurity is not okay for me. So.
And even this one, the last thing, without these meals, would there be days you do not get enough to eat? 21.43% said yes.
That's a quarter of them.
They don't have a bit. Without that meal, they wouldn't have enough to eat.
Yeah.
It's so
I know. I've heard from some of them that they don't even eat that. And you think it's not that big a portion when you think of what you get at restaurants. But many of them eat that for lunch and supper.
Yeah.
They save that. And, you know, they're not as hungry. I mean, they're like, yeah, they do. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Wow.
Did you see the comment by the one
by Boscomel?
Gentleman called me. He was so delightful. He is like, he calls me up and he left me a message that he wanted to talk to me about the Boscomel, you know, Boscomel Center. And so you're always like, And so I got him on the phone, and he's like, The congregate meal site, it's just an extraordinary affair there. It's so great. And your meal site manager is so wonderful, and she's so good. And he's like, the times always don't work out for me, but she is so delightful that it just keeps me coming back. And he said, there are days I shouldn't be going there. I've got other stuff to do, but I just keep showing. And it was such a nice conversation. So I'm like, thank you so much. Because he's like, I know that people often only call to complain. So that's why I wanted to make a call. And I'm like, that is so nice, because we really, and we do actually get that more probably, I think, than some departments probably do. But so it was really, really nice. So I wanted to, and we try to include some of those comments when we do legislators too, because, you know, they need to hear, people do like what we do, so. But yeah, no, those numbers, I know, those are always
pretty sober.
There are the survey that we'll share with you next month also goes into, you know, whether they get, if they would eat fruit or if they would eat vegetables and things like that. But to me, those are, I usually, for the legislator one, include the ones that I think are the most powerful. So yeah. But I will get those finalized probably by the end of this week. I just hadn't had a chance to really. I can see after printing them off, some color adjustments on them and things like that. So I want to I want to do. But that's it for me.
Okay. Nobody has any other questions? I'm ready for an adjournment.
Sure.
Okay, Rob.
I'll second.
Second, McCarthy. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Pat. Everybody.
Yeah, sorry, got my day screwed up last month.
I thought this was a long meeting, but we're still.